Hi there, Greg Van Beek. This is Nancy O'Dell, and I wanted to say congratulations on 500 episodes of Nostalgia Radio Time. That is awesome. And you're also celebrating 10 years. I mean, that's quite the anniversary. Very impressive, Greg. I love me some oldies but goodies.
Once I had a secret love. Ha, I'm Lori Morgan, and if you love pop standards as much as I do, you'll want to tune in each week to Nostalgia Radio Time, hosted by my friend Greg Van Beek.
Go, Joe, go!
Hi everyone, this is Katie Couric, and I want to welcome you to one of my favorite programs, Nostalgia Radio Time, hosted by my friend Greg Van Beek.
Thank you, Katie, and welcome to program number 606 of Nostalgia Radio Time. This week, it's old-time radio time for the entire time on Nostalgia Radio Time. We're going to begin with the Fitch Bandwagon going back to March 2nd of 1941 with Gene Krupa.
Here comes the Fitch Bandwagon.
We're at your door. You're sure to call for more when you use Fitch. So don't despair, just use your head and save your hair with Fitch Shampoo.
There's a little song to gladden the heart and brighten the hair, because it means that the good old Fitch bandwagon is on hand, with its cargo of the famous Fitch's Dandruff Remover Shampoo and Ideal Hair Tonic. And then, too, we have on board one of America's most famous orchestras, ready to supply notes of music, as the driver of the bandwagon supplies notes of interest. And here's the driver now, Toby Reed.
Ah, thank you, Jack Costello, and hello, everybody. Well, hold tight to those seats tonight, because when this gang we've got on board really gets warmed up, the old bandwagon is going to rock and roll. Now, if you're all ready, move right up close and listen to this. Drummer man is Gene Krupa, America's number one drummer and his great orchestra. Gene, you know, is the boy who combined musicianship with showmanship to make America drum conscious. So now we're going to sort of take a peek at the private life of the nation's top-notch drummer, one of those outstanding orchestra leaders. Are you quite ready to be put on the witness stand, Gene?
Say, I'll testify for dear old Fitch Shampoo anytime,
baby. You're not going to have to do that, Gene. Fitch Shampoo speaks for itself, you know. What we really want is the inside story of Gene Krupa.
Then I think I'd better get in the mood first with a bit of music.
And who would say no to that? Pick up those drumsticks, man, and beat your way through your slightly red-hot version of the Siren Serenade. We might call attention here to the siren trumpet of Shorty Chirac.
Thank you. You know, folks, being a showman is as natural to Gene Krupa as breathing. In the past, when he played in other people's orchestras, he stole the show night after night because he just, well, he couldn't help himself. As a matter of fact, you know, his showmanship began when he was very, very young. You see, his mother operated a millinery shop, and when she went to work, she didn't want to leave little Genie at home alone, so she got special permission for him to attend school with his brother, who was 7 years old. And the biggest part of school life to Gene were the school plays.
And was I a born ham? The teachers had trouble getting the older kids to take parts, but I was the first one to volunteer, just a show-off, I'm afraid.
Well, you can call it ham or call it show-off, Mr. Krupa. We still call it mighty fine entertainment. So there's the showmanship side of Gene Krupa in his earliest stage. Now for the rhythm. I found out from his brother Pete that this dates back to his cradle. His mother found out that all she had to do to keep him very happy was to lie Gene on his back in his crib with his feet up against the side and then give him a little push. Now it seems that he would then rock from side to side for hours, perfectly happy. So there you have the start of the Krupa rhythm.
I hope you realize what you're doing to me, Toby. Boys here will never let me live that one down.
Live it down, man. They're the ones who told me about it. All of which makes me wonder how much rocking it took to turn out this next arrangement. The music of Gene Krupa, the voice of Howard Giuliani, High on a Windy Hill.
The sound of applause is a welcome, pleasant sound. When I hear applause on the bandwagon, I sometimes wonder what it would be like if we could get all the satisfied users of Fitch's Dandruff Remover Shampoo together and let them applaud for our product. Boy, there would be a noise. Because millions of men, women, and children everywhere in the United States and Canada really do enjoy and approve of Fitch Shampoo, and with good reason. Fitch's Dandruff Remover Shampoo is good for all colors and all textures of hair, including the finest baby hair. Fitch Shampoo penetrates right into the thousands of tiny hair openings on the scalp. Just how important this is, you can see when I tell you that the health and beauty of your hair are dependent on the condition of your scalp. Fitch Shampoo leaves your scalp dirt and dandruff from both hair and scalp. The result? Your hair glows with natural life and color and is wonderfully easy to manage. Fitch Shampoo has been awarded the Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval. Have professional applications at your barber or beauty shop, or buy a bottle of Fitch Shampoo at your favorite drug counter tonight. It reconditions as it cleanses.
right along about now, we're going to turn back the years to Gene
Cooper. Beaten out on the desks with a pair of pencils. Many were the trips I made to the principal's office for that trick.
Well, I can't say that I blame the teacher. I'd hate to try to teach anything but rhythm with Gene Krupa drumming in the same room.
There was one teacher, Mrs. Rogers, who was very strict about my drumming when I attended Bowen High School in Chicago. And, well, the night Toby refers to, Mrs. Rogers danced by the bandstand at the college inn. I took one look at her, and I'll be doggone if I didn't go all the pieces. I didn't exactly recognize her at first, but something sort of came over me. I felt like a kid caught doing something he shouldn't do.
Well, now, Gene, to the best of my knowledge, Mrs. Rogers isn't here tonight. So we only demand your finest drumming on this next number.
Well, I'll reet.
Now, hold on a minute, man. What kind of jive jargon is that, all reet?
Well, Toby, seems like our arranger picked up a new way of saying okay or all right. We wrote a little tune about it. It's become very popular for our band, and I'm going to ask Anita O'Day to explain it further.
Well, Gene, seems that you've sort of taken the words right out of my mouth, so there's really nothing left for me to say but all right.
Among the birds, in other words, careening. It's the thing that most of the fellows say, a parlor way to greet you. They're just taking advantage of a fad to say I'm glad to greet you. Jump right in the groove, don't you dare to move. All the folks approve, do you dig me?
Yeah!
I know that you do. You will dance to a trance and soften. Just a thing to prove that you're feeling well. I want to hear more often.
Back in 1939, Gene Krupa paid the old Fitch bandwagon a visit. At that time, he did a stunt that caused a lot of comment. So much, in fact, that we're going to sort of elaborate on it here tonight. It was the stunt where Gene showed us just exactly how a drummer can practice in the small hours of the night right in his own apartment without disturbing the other tenants. Now, it's all done with a rubber pad. We've placed a microphone close to Gene's practice pad so that we can actually hear those beats. And Gene's going to show us how to practice them and then how to put them into practice. Is that right, Gene?
Correcto, Toby. I'm going to try to show you a few of the rudiments of drumming. Rudiments to a drummer are what scales are to a pianist. First, I'll do them on the practice pad, slowly, open style, as we skin beaters call it. Then I'll play it on the drum as the finished product.
Well, that sounds mighty interesting, Dr. Krupa. Suppose you elucidate.
Well, a very elementary rudiment is the double drag. Here it is on the practice pad.
Well, that's clear enough, Doctor. Now, if you'll just transfer that to the drums. Hey, this is a lot of fun, Jane. How about the paradiddle? I hear drummers talking about that all the time.
The paradiddle is mighty important, all right. Here's the way it sounds on the practice pad. And here's the way I use it with the band. Now let's get on to the rhythmicue, which is a little more advanced. First, we'll practice it on the pad. And now the rhythmicue on the tub.
Well, Gene, for the first time in my life, I'm beginning to see that drumming is really a science. You know, I'm told that you have a few tricks of your own that aren't in the rule books. So how about us hearing a couple of them?
Okie dokie, Toby. I'll show you a couple that I hope someday will be recognized as rudiments. I call this one the paratriplet. And this one, the paracharleston. And here's the way they sound when put into actual use.
Ah, that was really great, Gene. And you know, it's the sort of thing that we don't get a chance to hear every day. What do we play now?
Since a lot of people knew we were going to be on the Fitz bandwagon today, they all asked me to be sure and include our arrangement of Perfidia.
Well, now that we know what you can do with a pair of drumsticks, the pair of diddle, the pair of triplet, the pair of Charleston, now let's see what you can do with a pair of bare hands on that conga drum while Howard Delaney sings Perfidia.
For I found you the love of my life in somebody else's arms. Your eyes are echoing perfidia, forgetful of your promise of love, your sharing an other's charm. With a sad lament, my dreams have faded like a broken melody. While the gods of love look down and laugh at what romantic fools we mortals be. And now I know my love was not for you. And so I'll take it back with a sigh, a hideous one goodbye. Darling, goodbye.
You know, Gene Krupa promised me a story of how this Fitch bandwagon and his experience on it one time saved him from a rather awkward situation. So, Gene, how about shuffling up here to the mic and telling us all about it right now?
All right, Toby. I like the story because it also shows the sportsmanship of the American public. It happened a few months ago when I arrived in Hershey, Pennsylvania to play a one-night engagement and received word that the bus with the entire orchestra in it had broken down about 40 miles away. Man, was I brought down. All my bags were in the bus, too, so there I was, unshaven in a slack suit without even a drumstick.
Well, tell me, how did the Fitch bandwagon come into the picture, Gene?
Well, I saw that the boys couldn't make it for at least 2 hours. There are already 2,000 people waiting to dance. The manager of the hall told me to at least present myself and explain to the people. Right then, I remembered that the Fitch bandwagon has proved that folks are interested in behind-the-scenes stories of the orchestra. So I told them gags and stories about the band and the boys.
Man, I can see I'll have to watch out for my job right now. Do you mean to say that you talked for 2 hours?
Not all the time. They had a record machine with some of my recordings. So we'd play a tune just the way you do on this program, and then I'd tell them things that happened when we recorded it. After that, I answered questions they shot at me.
Well, I can bet it was one of your most informal engagements, Gene.
That's what I mean about sportsmanship. When the boys did arrive, all the waiting dancers pitched in and helped carry in the instruments and set up the stage. Boys played just as they were dressed, and we hit a very happy, relaxed groove and never did have a more successful engagement.
Well, they sure sound like a great bunch of sports, Gene. All of which reminds me that our bandwagon riders aren't so bad themselves along that line, so how about a bit of a reward? I'd suggest your favorite Gene Krupa arrangement, Drum Boogie.
Thank you.
And with that provocative Krupa drum beat, we're reminded to pull over to the side and end another bandwagon ride with Gene Krupa, the ace drummer man of America. Thanks for a really swell ride, Gene. And remember, there's always room on the bandwagon for Gene Krupa, Nito Day, and the boys. Now let's take a look at the schedule for next week, along about the same time on these same stations. Well, now here's something that should have you right back in your seats. It seems we're slated to take a ride with another of your favorites in the person of Horace Hite. Yes, Horace Hite will be here with all of his boys. That's about enough invitation for anyone. So until then, this is your bandwagon driver, Toby Reed, saying not goodbye, good night. The bandwagon is brought to you by the F.W. Fitch Company, makers of the famous Fitch's Dandruff Remover Shampoo and Ideal Hair Tonic.
From March 2nd, 1941, that was the Fitch Bandwagon. If you need songs you'd like me to play or old-time radio shows you like features, send a request to nostalgiaradiotime@yahoo.com. And be sure to check us out on our social media outlets on Facebook and Twitter. And if you happen to be looking for an antique radio, one that's fully restored and functional, now many with Bluetooth capability, check out my website at www.radioattic.com/Van Beek. That's all one word, V-A-N-B, two E's and a K. And I've got some great sets available for you. Next up, we've got the Green Hornet, going back to June 13th of 1939.
The Green Hornet. He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies that even the G-men cannot reach. The Green Hornet.
The gas station on the next corner, Kroger?
Not that one, Zelly. Can't you see how much he's charging for gas? That one's okay. The one we want's around the next corner.
Which way?
Turn left.
There's the place. Here it goes!
I guess we won't have no more trouble with that guy.
Not now, Slagle.
Drink up, boys. You sure the bomb did a good job?
I was watching through the rearview mirror, Slagle. Kroger tossed that pineapple right into the middle of the gas pump.
Don't worry, boss. You can pick up what's left of the place with an eyedropper.
That's fine. From now on, he'll pay protection dough along with the rest.
You got a sweet racket, Slagle.
Sure. Every gas station in the city is kicking in.
They're paying for protection, Sally. I make sure nothing happens to them.
And if they don't pay?
They run into trouble like tonight. You were careful not to let anyone see you?
We went by too fast, Walt.
Yeah, we used a stolen car. This is a couple of blocks further on.
The only guy that has an idea it was us is the guy we bombed. Catch him talking.
Besides, he don't know for sure. At least got a suspicion.
Right. A guy who's scared don't make a good witness. You need more than suspicions for proof.
You said it, boss.
As for the police, they can't prove a thing when they ain't got witnesses.
Miss Case, get the district attorney on the phone for me. Have Lowry here when I'm through talking.
Yes, Mr. Reed.
Have it up.
Well, looks like a three-alarm fire the way he's burning up. Sally, get the district attorney on the wire. And tell Lowry to stop cutting out paper dolls and come in here on the double. Mr. Reed's in a hurry, and I do mean hurry. Well, I wonder what it is this time. Last week he was turning out scorching editorials on dangerous drivers and how they were a menace on the city streets. Yes, Mr. Reed?
Get me all the information we have on the recent gas station accident. Now bring it to me as soon as you get it. Oh, is that the district attorney?
Mr. Reed's office. Just a moment. Yes, Mr. Reed, it's the district attorney. I'll switch him on your wire.
I have it. Now get busy on that list.
Hello. Hello, let me have the morgue.
Don't tell me, Casey. The boss is going to make me the Lovelorn editor.
You'd do better at a racetrack, Lowry. Hello, morgue?
Morgue? Did somebody die?
Not that morgue, silly. The place where we keep all the back copies of the Sentinel.
Oh, no, Casey, you're kidding me. If there's any information he wants, I have it at my fingertips.
This is Miss Case. Mr. Reed wants all the information you have about recent gas station accidents.
That's it, huh?
I don't care how you get them. Well, check with the police. Go through your back copies.
Casey, that last gas station that was blown up was a shambles. Wrecked pumps, gasoline. I never saw such a mess.
It doesn't take a reporter to see that.
Do I detect a note of sarcasm in that last crack?
You do. Honestly, Lowry, it's an open secret who's back of all these bombings and fires.
Really?
Legal, that's who.
Tell me something I don't know, Casey.
Then why don't your stories say so?
Listen, Casey. Sure, Slagle controls the gas stations in this town. He's got a protection racket that brings in a cent on every gallon.
Then why don't
you... But the Sentinel can't print that. There's no proof. We'd be sued from here to Christmas.
My idea of heaven would be someplace where a newspaper can print what everybody knows is true, even though it can't be proved.
Yeah, but this place isn't heaven.
Not while Flagel is here.
Well, maybe the district attorney can do something.
I've been talking to him while I just finished.
Did he have anything, Mr. Reed?
Not a thing, Miss Case.
How about that last bombing, boss?
Yeah, it's the same story all over again, Lowry. Suspicions, but no proof. Even the owner of that gas station refuses to talk.
And meanwhile, that snake Slagle keeps raking in all the cash he can get his grabbing hands on.
There's one consolation, Mr. Reed.
Yeah, Casey?
None that I know of, Miss Case.
What I mean is, Slagle's only taking money from gas stations.
Well?
1 cent difference in the price of gasoline isn't going to affect people so much.
Miss Case, you're making the same mistake that others do. The price of gasoline is as important as any other.
But suppose Slagle's racket were meat and vegetable markets. Well, people wouldn't be able to get the right kind or amount of food. Now, you can't compare...
It's practically the same thing.
Keep your ears open, Casey. Here's where you get a lesson in simple economics.
Meat and vegetable markets use trucks in their business.
Yes.
They have to pay the same higher price for gasoline that Slagle forces from everyone else.
But a cent a gallon...
Well, that adds up. If they spend more for gasoline, they have to make it up somewhere else. In other words, if their expenses go up, they have to charge the public more for the food they're selling.
You hit it, boss. And the same goes for every family that uses a car.
Exactly. Every cent they have to spend for gas means 1 cent less to buy milk and eggs and fresh vegetables for the family table.
Why, of course. I didn't stop to think.
More people did think, Miss Case. Racketeers like Slagle would never get started.
You're too late for that now. Slagle's got the gas stations tied up tighter than Houdini.
That's why I called you. We're going after every one of those gasoline dealers.
Why, boss?
If we can find one man who'll act as witness against Slagle, that's all the district attorney will need.
They're sending the names up from the morgue, Mr. Reed.
Go after them, Lowry. Take Clicker Benny with you.
Okay. We ought to be able to convince somebody that he's smart to act as witness.
Lowry and Clicker Benny made the rounds of the gas stations which had recently had accidents, but their search was fruitless. They could find no one who would consent to appear against Bat Slagle. They approached a gas station run by a man named Jennings. Lowry said...
We're not having much luck, Licker. Everybody gives us the same story.
I can't blame them exactly, Lowry. How would you like it if something happened to your family?
I haven't got a family.
Yeah, but most of these gas station operators have. Besides, they can't help much.
They say they can't, but I know
It may be true. Apparently, Bat Slagle is pretty careful about making sure there's no actual evidence against him.
Benny, all these accidents can't have just happened.
Slagle's responsible, all right. There's no doubt about that. Only all the victims claim they saw nobody, heard nothing, and know nothing.
I still say they're scared. How about this guy here? What's his name?
Jennings.
Okay, watch me work.
It'd be about time. Nothing's worked so far.
He's not here. Must be inside the station.
Yes, sir. You want some gas?
Mr. Jennings?
That's right. Guess I didn't hear you. I was busy checking over the business I've been doing.
How is business?
Could be better. Who wants to know?
Paying 1 cent tribute and every gallon to Slagle cuts into the profits, doesn't it?
Listen, mister, you here to buy gasoline or what?
Hold on, Mr. Jennings. We don't mean to be rude.
If you want gas, I'll sell it. If you don't, clear out.
You don't understand. We're from the Daily Sentinel.
Sure. He does the reporting and I take the pictures.
How would you like your picture in the papers, Mr. Jennings?
My picture?
Yeah, the Sentinel's running a series on gas station operators. We want to tell our readers...
Don't kid me.
About some of our leading... Huh?
You heard what I said. You ain't fooling me with that series stuff. You hear about Bat Slagle, ain't you?
Nice work, Lowry.
Okay, Jennings. I won't stall. How about it? You know plenty about the way Slagle works.
Me? Not a thing.
I suppose Slagle didn't wreck your place last month.
Where'd you get that idea? It was an accident. The gas tank exploded.
Oh, Mr. Jennings, don't hold out on us.
Come on, Jennings. You know it was Slagle. Pin it on him and you'll be a hero.
Yeah, I'd rather be alive.
But
besides, it wouldn't do any good anyway. I didn't see nothing.
You were here when it happened, weren't you?
Sure, but I didn't see anybody. I tell you, it was an accident. See, an accident.
Just like the rest of them. Afraid to talk.
Listen, you. Take a tip and get out of here before I get mad.
Looks to me as if all of you are yellow.
I'm warning you to get out.
Letting Slagle make monkeys of you. Yellow as a chrysanthemum.
Hey, you...
Uh-oh.
Now get out and stay out. Don't come around again looking for a store. You'll get another poke in the jaw.
tell me, Laura, the only result of sending you and Miss Binney out is that bruise on your chin.
Oh, the big jellyfish smacked me when I wasn't looking.
Doesn't sound much like a jellyfish to me.
Not this fellow, Mr. Reed. He was mad.
I mean about Slagle, Mr. Reed. They were all jellyfish. Even the guy who socked me wouldn't open his mouth about Slagle. Compared to them, a clan could talk your ear off.
Laurie, I don't quite approve of your tactics in questioning this man Jennings.
I couldn't help it, boss. By the time I got around to him, I was fit to be tied.
Reporters are supposed to go out for facts, not fights.
On the level, boss, I tried being polite.
Yeah?
You know Laurie, Mr. Reed. If he can't get facts one way, he uses another.
Whether any of them have something on Slagle or not, I don't know. All I know is they won't talk.
Miss Benny, you've been trying to conceal a grin ever since Laurie and you came in here.
Me?
Did you snap a picture of Jennings hitting Lowry?
Huh?
Well, my camera was handy, and I just took it.
Clicker, you double-dealing little... Give me that camera.
Hey, can't a girl take a few shots for a private collection? Let go, you glass-jawed goof!
Hold on, both of you. It'll ruin me, boss. Clicker, show that print all around the city room.
You said it. I'll have it enlarged, too.
Clicker, I'll buy that picture from you. How much?
Hey, never mind this. Rush the film to the darkroom, Miss Binney. That shot is going on page one.
As long as she doesn't... What? You're going to publish it? Why, boss? Why?
With a caption under it reading, "This man is not afraid of hitting a reporter. Why is he afraid to talk about Slagle?"
Wow! I've been waiting for a chance like this all my life.
Why don't that newspaper mind its own business? Putting my picture on the front page.
Now, Jim.
But, Alice, they know very well why I won't talk.
Perhaps you should tell what you know about Slagle.
And have his mob do another job on my gas station? Or come over here after you and Timmy? Not a chance.
Slagle wouldn't do that.
Sure he would. Besides, I can't prove it was Slagle had my place bombed. He's too slick for that.
So we go on paying.
Yeah. That reminds me, Slagle's collector's due here pretty soon. Is the money ready?
Yes, in the envelope.
If them seeing this picture in a sentinel, I'd better have it for him on the line.
The doorbell. Is that him?
A little early, but... You stay here, Alice. I'll see him in the hallway.
Be careful, Jim.
Don't worry, honey. Gosh, I wish there was something I could do without making things bad for Alice and the kid.
Inside, Jennings.
Hey, what?
Man!
Get back.
A gun! I know you. You're the Green Hornet.
That's exactly right.
Whatever you come for, Hornet, you're not getting it, see?
Jim, you forgot the money.
Bring it here.
Why, you dirt...
I could give you a shot of gas and take it anyway, Jennings.
Hey, Jim, do as he says. Here it is.
That's better.
That goes for Slagle, Hornet.
It was for Slagle, but not anymore.
But that's all we have. The Slagle collector is due any minute.
That's too bad. The Green Hornet got here first.
You kidding? What do we tell him?
Tell him anything. This cash goes with me.
No, Jim.
Alice, let me go. I'll get up. Green Hornet, huh?
No, Jim, I won't let you.
It's too late. There he goes.
But Jennings was wrong. The Green Hornet had no intention of leaving. The car pulled away. Rick Reed spoke to Cato, the only living man to know him as the Green Hornet. Cato doubled back around the block. I want to be there when Slagle's collector arrives.
Yes, Mr. Reed.
I'll be there when he does. You wait for me in the car.
A short time later, Slagle's collector arrived at Jennings' home. He refused to believe Jennings' story.
Stop stalling, Jennings. Where's that dog?
I tell you, the Green Hornet took it.
Don't make me laugh. The Hornet wouldn't bother with 20 bucks.
It's the truth. My husband left the money in the other room when he came to the door before. I thought it was you calling, so I brought the money out to him.
And the Hornet grabbed it.
You expect me to believe that? You got that dough hid someplace. The other room, I'll bet.
Go ahead. Search if you want it.
You won't find it in there.
Oh, I won't, huh? What do you call this, you dumbhead? Right in the table and see it with my name on it. Well, I'd bluff so easy, I wouldn't even look in here, huh?
I swear it wasn't...
You're getting too big for your hat, Jennings, since that picture got in the papers. When I tell Slagle about this, he'll whittle you down plenty.
Outside the window, a tall, masked figure listened to Kruger's outburst and then moved away silently.
Step number one in my plan to uncover Slagle's racket. Now, if only everything moves along as smoothly as it's been going so far, the Green Hornet is going to have a busy night. And that means a busy night for Bat Slagle as well. Slagle and his whole crooked outfit.
The Curtain falls on the first act of our Green Hornet adventure. Before the next exciting scenes, please permit us to pause for just a few moments. Ritt Reed found that Bat Slagle, a racketeer, had every gas station in the city paying him a cent a gallon on gasoline as tribute. By intimidation, violence, and every force at his command, Slagle was making his victims keep silent. Assuming the role of the Green Hornet in an attempt to smash Slagle's racket, Ritt Reed made it appear that the most courageous of Slagle's victims had attempted to withhold his weekly payment of protection money from Slagle's henchmen. Following Ritt Reed's instructions, Cato had the Black Beauty waiting in an alley near Denning's house.
Slide over, Cato. I'll take the wheel.
Very well, Mr. Ritt. Did the plan work, Mr. Ritt?
So far, the plan is going fine, Cato. I doubled back and tossed the collection envelope in through the open window. Slagle's collector thinks Jennings is trying to pull a bluff. He's on his way to Slagle now.
We'll go there?
The Black Beauty will get up to Slagle's place twice as fast as he can make it. Cato, the Green Hornet is going to be in that office when Slagle's collector arrives.
It's about time you showed up, Kruger.
Got the door from Jennings?
Yeah, there it is. Can you imagine that guy, Bat? He tried to stall.
Jennings?
Yeah, Jennings.
What do you mean? Here's the dough.
He said he didn't have it. Tried to tell me the Green Hornet had swiped this dough.
The Green Hornet? That's a lie.
And all the time was right in the next room. Wasn't even hid.
Tried to bluff you, huh?
Didn't work. You ought to take him down a peg anyhow, Bat.
If any one of them guys gives us trouble, it'll be him, all right.
Not if you show him who's boss, it won't.
Yeah. Kruger, from now on, Jennings is going to have to pay 2 cents on every gallon instead of one.
Twice as much?
That'll teach him to try and act up with me. Now, let's count this dough just to make sure.
Okay, Bat.
It's getting late.
Feels like more than 20. Hey, Slager, look at this.
What?
Jennings tricked us. Instead of real dough, this envelope is chucked full of plain paper.
What? Why that? Let me see.
He even used heavy paper so it would sound like the real thing when I felt the envelope.
You sap.
Well, the envelope was sealed, Bat. I didn't think he would try a stunt like this.
He won't no more. Jennings thinks he can fool around with me, huh?
Let me handle him, Bat.
Nick, you might come back like you did this time. Besides, this job's more down Zelly's alley. Zelly? Yeah, that's right. Slagle on this end. You're going to do a job tonight, Zelly. I got it all figured. Now, here's what you're going to do.
Hidden in the shadows where he had been since before Kruger's arrival, the Green Hornet listened to Slagle's conversation. Then as Slagle finished talking...
That's the idea, Zelly. And make sure nothing goes wrong. I want Jennings to know he can't play around with my outfit.
Well, that's your scheme.
Huh? Who the devil's that?
It won't work, Slagle.
You're masked.
It's the Green Hornet. Move over next to each other.
Got a rod, eh?
I heard about that gun, boss. It ain't got bullets. Only gas.
Oh.
Gas, huh? And only one gun.
I get it.
Don't knock the table over. That won't help.
Get him from behind, Kruger. He can't shoot both ways.
Okay, Bat. Take it, gas.
Get him, Kruger.
All right, got you. More. Who else? Gas me from behind.
I was waiting. They didn't see me.
Good work. One from each side at the same time is a little hard to handle. They almost had me.
What do we do now?
First, we make sure these two rats are unconscious. They're completely out. Can you fix them up so they'll stay that way until 4 in the morning?
4 in the morning?
That's the time when Slagle told Zelly to do that job. If we're going to trap these rats, we'll need every minute in between.
Jim, we ought to be going to bed. It's after 12.
Well, you go ahead, honey. I ain't sleepy.
All right. Don't be long. Good night, Jim.
Night, honey. It's taken plenty out of me to be paying off to Slagle. If he's going to make it any tougher, well, I might as well quit. And that reporter. Why'd I sock him in the first place? I certainly must have looked jealous to him. Gosh, if I did have any dope on Slagle's racket, I would call that reporter.
That's a good idea, Jennings.
Oh, it's you again. What do you want now?
I'm your friend.
You put me in a spot with Slagle.
One purpose. To take care of Slagle.
It don't make sense.
First you swipe that dough, then you bring it back so Slagle's collector can find it.
Exactly.
If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be worrying about what Slagle's going to do.
Plenty.
I don't need a guy in a mask to tell me that.
Jennings, I'm going to help you stop him.
You?
You don't believe me?
I've heard plenty about you, Hornet, and none of it good.
Perhaps this will convince you.
What? It's money. Dollar bills.
Look at them.
Why, the money I gave to Slagle's collector.
What he took was nothing but strips of paper. I had this money with me from the first.
I can't figure you, Hornet.
Don't try to.
But the whole thing's screwy. The money, Slagle.
Jennings, I want to get Slagle as much as you do.
Yeah, I guess this proves it. But how can you get Slagle when nobody's got the goods on him?
Be at your gas station at 4 this morning.
But it's closed. I close it up at 12 when my helper leaves.
Never mind that. Call the cops, too. Call this reporter if you want to. Be there and watch what happens.
Jennings followed the suggestion given him by the Green Hornet. He called the office of the Daily Sentinel and asked for Lowry.
I want to talk to a reporter named Lowry.
Yeah, this is Lowry speaking. Who wants me?
This is Jennings.
Jennings?
Yeah, I'm the guy that runs that gas station.
Oh, you. Well, listen, Jennings. If you want to take another poke at me for getting that picture in the Sentinel, you can forget it. I didn't want that picture released either.
Well, you don't get it, Lowry. I'm calling about something else. Here's a tip for you. Be at my gas station around 4 o'clock.
What for? Green Hornet? You mean he's in on this?
Will you be there?
Will I be there? Try and keep me away. Wow, talk about a scoop. So the Slagle mob are up to something. Hello, hello. Listen, get me Clicker Benny. Show her on the phone, how else? I don't know where she is. Try every place. Try her home, try the movie around the corner. Try any place but get her. No, it isn't personal, it's business. I got inside information that the Green Hornet's going to bust Slagle's gang wide open.
Here we are, Cato. Jennings gas station. Yeah, it's deserted, all right. The problem now is how to get in.
I look down the street.
See if the window's open. Good, Cato. There's a hole in the window pane. We'll be able to unlock it and get inside without any trouble.
Here it is.
If I can reach the catch. Probably this window was broken the last time Slagle had Jennings' place bombed. And Jennings didn't have enough money to repair it. Yeah, there. I can feel the window catch now. Have Slagle and Kruger, Cato?
Yes, sir.
I'll go in through this window and open the door. Then we'll bring the two of them in and put them right where his deli will find them.
Yes, sir. They are still unconscious.
Working carefully and hurriedly, Britt Reed opened the door. Together, he and Cato carried the unconscious racketeers into Jennings' gas station. They moved in almost total darkness.
You'd never think to look at Slagle that he weighs so much, Cato.
Heavy.
Be careful of that chair. All right, put him down here next to Kruger.
That's it. The two of them, side by side, where Zelly can find them.
Yes, sir.
We'll leave the door unlocked so that Zelly can get in without any delay. Yeah, time for us to leave.
We're not staying?
No, we can't afford to stay here. It's too risky. But we'll be near enough to check if anything goes wrong. Will Slagle and Kruger recover soon?
Positive. They'll wake up in a little while now.
Fine. I may be wrong, but Slagle's apt to be overconfident. He'll try to play out his hand in spite of everything. And that will mean his finish. Come on, Cato.
A short while after Britt Reed and Cato left, the two racketeers stirred. Slagle sat up.
What happened? Where?
It's dark.
Hornet. Yes.
Who's that? Kruger. That you?
Yes. Hornet did it. Couldn't get him.
Kruger. Kruger, wake up.
Huh? Oh, Slagle. Where are we?
Kruger, it was that blasted Green Hornet. I remember now. He gassed us in my office. Snap out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, your office. That's where we must be now. He snapped off the lights and left us.
Sure, that's it. Got scared and took a powder. Now we'll find the light switch and then...
Slagle, this ain't your office.
No, it ain't.
And where the devil are
we? Look out the window. Look at them gas pumps.
Hey, this is Jennings' place. I recognize it plain.
Yeah, just lighted up to see things outside.
So the Green Hornet brought us here. Guess he figured we'd still be unconscious when Zelly came around to do a job on the place.
We'd have been done for.
Yeah, only figured wrong. That gas he used wasn't as strong as he thought. We'll just walk out when Zelly shows up, and nobody the wiser.
Hey, there's somebody coming now. See him? Through the window.
Huh? Well, that's Zelly. Come on. We're going outside and meet him.
What the? Who's that?
Take it easy, Zelly. It's me and Kroger.
I didn't expect you down here, boss. What's the matter? Checking up on me?
Ah, we know you can handle it, Zelly.
It was the Green Hornet. He brought us
here. The Hornet?
He tried a little scheme to take care of me and Kroger. Only he slipped up, see? Now, let's get busy. You got the bomb?
Right here, boss.
Okay. We'll set it down right here next to the gas tank. Now, give me a match for this fuse. We'll take care
of
it.
Never mind the match.
What the devil?
Legal.
Okay,
get in there. Grab him.
You gotta get out of here.
Game's up. Reach.
You don't get me.
No, you don't. No. What's legal?
It's legal to me, Sergeant.
Wait, Jennings, don't.
Bomb my gas station, will you, Slagle?
Hey, Trigger, snap this one. Jennings is going to poke Slagle.
Make us pay you tribute, huh? Well, the cop's got the goods on you now.
All right, you got me. What else now?
Yes, go.
Oh, honey, did you get it, Clicker?
And how?
Thanks, Jennings. You saved us the trouble. Put the cuffs on him.
Okay, Doyle. Listen, officer, it's a mistake. I wasn't supposed to be here.
Tell it to the judge, Kruger.
Don't listen to him. He's in as deep as me. I tell you, the Green Hornet brought me and Slagle here.
Sure he did, and a good job, too.
The Green Hornet? Is that where you got the tip, Jennings?
Yeah, and it worked smooth as clockwork.
Trust the Green Hornet for that.
So the Green Hornet's responsible for this, eh? Well, that's the first good thing he ever did.
Listen, Sergeant, the Green Hornet's okay, see? No matter what people say, he's one guy I'm going to believe in from now on.
Sutlo, XP, Sutlo! Hornet smashes gasoline racket! Slagle under arrest! Sutlo, Pepper! Gasoline operators free from racket roll! Green Hornet still at large! Sutlo,
just heard is a copyrighted feature of the Green Hornet Incorporated.
Go, Joe, go!
And just enough time to say I'm Greg Van Beek. Thank you for listening and hope you'll join me again next week. Until then, so long for now.